Tell you what, let's turn the music off and see if that helps him. I don't know what the heck's going on. Gremlins. Ghost in the Machine tonight. I hear you, LC. All right, tonight's broadcast.
Am I plugged in?
Say what? Yeah, you're plugged in. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. And we're recording, and you're recording. Maybe
okay.
Maybe your headset's not working. Anyway, tonight's presentation of MSU News Sports is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. By Moynihan Lumber of Beverly North, Reading, and Plaston, New Hampshire. By Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. By Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. By Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. By attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your tax preparation needs. By the Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. By the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn. I'll get you another headset.
That's all right.
No, you need to be able to hear.
I can hear you from here.
Well, yeah, but you're going to...
I can hear. I'll come through the speaker.
Okay. Why isn't that working?
I have no idea.
Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. By the Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And by the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, we're off to a flying stop this evening. How are
flying
you?
Stop?
Yeah, flying stop. How are you?
I'm fine.
This is good. Good, good.
Yeah.
All right. You guys had a decent game Thanksgiving morning.
Yes, it was very very entertaining. Oh.
Yeah, I hear you there.
You know, and I brought my list of scores from Thanksgiving Day game.
All right.
You know, at 34-21, English was able to pull away at the very end, but a back and forth tilt. It was 26-21 in the fourth quarter before English put a late score on the board to give themselves some separation. Classical just couldn't come up with a defensive stop. You know, he had a two-win Classical team and a four-win Lynn English team. But I'll tell you, you'd have thought the way they played that game that they were going for the Northeast Conference Championship, as I'm sure most tussles on Thanksgiving Day were played out around the area. But it was compelling football. You had, as Bill and I constantly mentioned throughout and talking to John Hoffman, and we talked to Steve Krause, the two stars of each team, Chandler Gear from Lynn Classical and Daquan Shepard, were willing their teams to a win. They made offensive plays, they made defensive plays, they made special team plays, they both balked a punt, they both recovered a fumble, they scored touchdowns. My God, I mean, they couldn't have done anything else. I think they may have been standing side by side in the concession stand at one point, selling souvenirs for each team. But boy, you know, I talked about at the beginning of the game that these were two guys who could show up and really have an impact on the game as they've had on their teams all year long. And, you know, boy, didn't they show up on cue. And it was right from the get-go. And it had to feel especially bad for Danny Rose of Lynn Classical. Got hurt in the very first play, the last game of his senior. He gets hurt in the very first play and was unable to return. And would he have made a difference? Boy, I would like to have seen him on the field because he was a key contributor for the last couple of years on this Lynn Classical the football team and to miss out on that experience in your last game sort of had to be a heartbreaker for him because he, again, is one of those impact-type ball players.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the Gloucester-Danvers game with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio in just a second. That was a heartbreaker for Danvers, but what a fantastic season the Falcons had this year. And we'll be talking with Craig Genualdo. He's the Hamilton-Wenham athletic director, and also with some Salem News sports writers or writer, we hope. Anyway, we'll take a short break and come right back with the Danvers football coach. This is North Shore Sports Night. It is Monday night. This is MSONewsSports.com, and I think we're finally underway.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Oh. After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Well, it's going to be that kind of night, I guess, there. Not able to connect with Coach Terrio at the moment. We'll try again later on, and we'll talk some other stuff. But we had a good football game, too, and that spirit of Thanksgiving was back, I think, Tim, as you mentioned, like it was at Manning. Great crowd, Danvers and Gloucester. And Danvers, same thing, Danny Lynch, and, you know, did everything he could to will his team to win. He did everything on both sides of the ball. An incredible job. But I think he just got worn down. At one point, I was mentioning to Coach Ingram, and I think he agreed with me, it was hard for him just to even stand up. They were so tired, and, you know, they were so punished. But they gave as good as they got, and they did at Melrose also, right. You know, last Friday night, whereas Gloucester had 10 days off to prepare. Danvers had that tremendous game that you did with Danvers, and Danvers did with Melrose. So they were kind of worn down, but they played a great game, and it was actually really, and I can say this without fear of saying a cliche, it was a game I hate to see anybody lose. It was a great game.
Yeah, you know, for Lynch, once Andreas got hurt the game before, he had to carry the load, and then he had to carry the load again because Andreas was limited against Melrose. He had to carry the load again, and again he put up a valiant effort in that loss to Melrose, and then to come back again, 6 days later, and have to play a very rested and a very physical Gloucester team. You have to really tip your hat to Mr. Lynch because, I mean, he literally left it all out on the field for his team, and certainly, you know, his season was a very heavy season for him, and yet that was what I think what held him together and what kept him focused on trying to achieve that goal, and I just think the numbers were against him and his Danvers teammates in the last couple of weeks. But boy, you're right; it doesn't take away from the effort that they put forth.
Yeah, Lagambina, captains at center of the line, the offensive line, Mike Nestor, Sam Vitale. If I'm saying no, you go on and on, and these guys just played so hard, as did Gloucester, and Gloucester deserved the win. And I will say this. After the cavorting last year, at the end of the game, when Danvers won that game, it stuck in the Gloucester kids' minds, the kids who came back. And they were – Danvers had a target on their back all year long, according to some of the Gloucester kids. And I must say that after the game, I was a little nervous about, you know, some tension perhaps. But both teams, just great sportsmanship, shook each other's hands. Congrats. And it was a crushing blow for Danvers because they played so well. And they took – they took that Northeast flag, Northeast Conference flag, as high as you could go, just didn't quite get it to the summit. So, you know, they carried it for all the Northeastern Conference. So we really want to congratulate the Danvers Falcons on the great year they had. Finished at 8-4, which is a tremendous accomplishment. And also, you know, the Gloucester and Fishermen didn't do too bad either. They played, I think, three or four teams in that big division, and they beat everybody except they didn't play Peabody, and they didn't beat Marblehead. But they beat Classical, Beverly, and Danvers. So a very, very good year for Gloucester as well.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I want to congratulate personally Chris and Sanfilippo, the junior, one of my students. He came into class and he said, you know, Mr. Kranz, he said, I have something to shoot for on Thanksgiving. I said, what's that? He said, well, if I get 131 yards, I become the first junior to have ever rushed for 1,000 yards in the history of Gloucester football. And I said, well, do this. I said, get 164. I only need 131. So I said, no, get 164. And he ended up with more than 164. I think he ended up with like 180 yards. And
the team only had, by my stats, 184. Yeah. And he got all of them except Nick had him up just over 200. So he had 90 to 95% of the team's offense.
And just a tremendous young man. He's in my honors class. So he challenges himself in the classroom. He's challenged himself on the football team.
You know what's
team.
Great about
and
him?
What a quality kid he is.
Said this on the air. And as much as I respect Danvers and their kids and Danny Lynch and those guys, same thing for San Filippo. Do you realize, and I'm sure you do, he wasn't the starter at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. He had to earn his minutes. He had to sneak his way into the lineup. And it wasn't until the third game he finally got his chance. It was after the Beverly game. And the coaches said, we can't keep him out of the lineup. We've got to put him in. And the rest is history.
Well, you know, he's a mocked man for next year when the season comes around, because you had that kind of a year. You know, he nearly had 1,100 yards rushing on the year. And, again, certainly want to congratulate him on again, being the first junior to achieve that that statistic and that honor, and certainly, hopefully, when it comes around to selecting the All-Stars, he'll certainly get his due consideration for the performance that he put in, because, again, you know, between he and Edwards, they really carried the load of the Gloucester offense this year.
And the linemen, again, unsung heroes, and it was nice to see Tom Donahue get his day in recognition by the coaches and, I guess, by the paper. Tom Donahue, also one of the captains, did a great job. And it was nice for me to meet the captains at the captains' luncheon last Tuesday. We talked about that. As Phil Simms would say, we talked about it in our meetings. We did last week. It was great to meet those guys. Another player of note I want to recognize, if we're calling it that, Tim, and we're going to be calling we're going to try Coach Terrio again one more time in a minute. But I don't think you can give enough or too much credit to Doug Santos. I mean, he gets all the ink. He gets all the recognition for all of his offense accomplishments, and I still don't think it's enough. The kid is fantastic, and from all accounts, a very nice kid, too, overcoming a lot of obstacles, as Danny Lynch and others have done as well. And I just want to congratulate the Peabody Tanners for the year that they had, Coach Mark Betancourt, but Doug Santos in particular as being really the premier runner in Eastern Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think he is the third or fourth all-time leading rusher on the North Shore, more than 4,000 yards, and he did that, and he did it in 3 seasons. Yeah. He didn't play his freshman year. He only had a couple hundred yards his sophomore year. But he had over 2,000 yards the last 2 years each. Yeah. I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment. When you get 2,000 as a junior, you know you're the marked man, and he was the featured back, and yet game after game after game, he put up the big numbers. I think he had 5 games well over 200 yards. Only one game, and that was the game against the Prep. He was held for less than 100 yards, and he had 80, I think it was 87 yards in that contest as well. And we know, you know, the size and the speed and the talent that St. John's possesses and the opponents that they played during the course of the year. And yet he still gave them fits and starts. And, so certainly, we wish him well in the next phase of his, education and his athletic career, to wherever he chooses to take it. Somebody's going to get a very, very gutsy and tough football player.
And it's just so much to talk about. Why don't we see if we can get Coach Terrio, and if we can't, we'll try the Salem News, and we can go over some of this stuff here, because, you know, so much we haven't mentioned, and so many great teams, great plays, and
we're going to talk Patriots.
Good performances. Of course you do.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Okay. I'm going
to
get
the world was coming to an end for me last night, but today the sun came up. So
you know,
it's all
11 o'clock. You say, okay, 11 o'clock. I'm going to bed. I always do that. 11 o'clock.
Oh, I went
to
get
who's playing. I go to bed.
End.
So you go to bed. The wife says, okay, she's going to go to bed too. I couldn't sleep for the night till the end of the game because she kept yelling.
Yeah.
I came out. Stop! I'm trying to sleep.
It was
okay. I'm sorry.
It was Debbie Downer for me. I'll tell you. And I almost overlooked that Tom Brady comeback. I didn't think there was any chance in hell that they could come back and tie that game. We'll talk about that later on. We'll be right back. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883. Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back, and we're really pleased to bring on Phil Stacey, the sports editor at the Salem News. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Rick, Tim, how you guys doing? Good to hear from you guys. Hope you and your families had a good Thanksgiving.
Very, very nice, and yours as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. We absolutely did. Phil, I've seen you. I've had Phil Stacey sightings at these games, but due to circumstances beyond everybody's control, I wasn't able to get you on the air here. But Tim and I are just waxing poetic about this Northeastern Conference football season, and what a great, great year some of these teams and individuals had.
You know, when you're in this business, as you guys are and we are, and you think you know what's going on, and then the season actually happens, and you think, I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't foresee this happening. I didn't expect this play to come out of nowhere. I knew this guy was good or this team was good, but I didn't realize how good. And that's what makes it great. You know, there really are lots of surprises every year. You know, whether you're a Gloucester High football fan, a Danvers High football fan, you know, you like Peabody football, whatever, there's always something to excite you and get you interested in your favorite team and game. And I think there were a ton of those surprises this year, what teams and individuals were able to accomplish. And you're right, it was a tremendous year for the conference, I thought, both regular season and into the playoffs, and it bodes well for the future.
Well, I think Tim and I both went with Danvers as the great surprise and good news surprise. I'm speaking, probably shouldn't be speaking for Tim, but for me it was. You knew they were going to be okay, but to be as good as they were and get as close as they were was a surprise. But how do you look at, what do you look at some of the big events, Phil, back on, in the Northeast Conference side of things?
Well, I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head. That's number one, I think. I mean, to come from really out of nowhere, you know, when you were talking about the big teams coming into the season, you were probably looking at Peabody, you know, with Doug Santos back. Beverly had a pretty good senior class coming back, and I think, you know, no one was certainly counting out Marblehead. They graduated an awful lot, but they've proven and did again what they can do over the course of a season. But if you look at the body of work that Danvers had, the wins that they had in season, starting with, you know, beating a pretty good Linfield team in week two and just kind of feeding off of that, and then what they were able to accomplish in the playoffs for a program that had never, ever won a playoff game in its long history, and suddenly they rip off three in a row, including upsets over Tewksbury on the road, two-time sectional champ, and then Marblehead, conference champion, team they'd already lost to during the season, beat them both, I don't want to say convincingly, but certainly with the better teams in those two games, a one-point game against Tewksbury and a seven-point game against Marblehead. I think that was a tremendous story. You know, how they were able to change on the fly, their team identity. They became a gritty, tough defensive team. They started running, you know, the offense that suited them best, which a lot of times involved the quarterback, which in most cases was Matt Andrews, but for one playoff game, Danny Lynch, just basically running behind that huge offensive line they had, and they wore teams down. I mean, it wasn't fancy, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't a spread offense like we've seen Swamps get run in the past. It wasn't like a tricky wing tee like a Gloucester or Beverly runs or anything like that. It was just straight-ahead power, knocking teams over, knocking teams down, and wearing them out. And tremendous season for Danvers all around. Yeah, they lost in the state semifinals, and then they were upset on Thanksgiving. But I don't think that can take away from the overall body of work that was their season.
You know, Phil, coming into this year, as the saying goes, I think they were playing with house money. They just let it roll. They knew they had some talented kids. They knew they were building on something from the previous year. So they played without fear. They played with, you know, with utter emotion. And as it went on, they just started seeing that till getting, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that was the confidence that they were accumulating with these early wins, and that belief in themselves, just as you said, really just fed them all through the rest of the year.
I think you're right, Tim. There's a lot of good points there. They believed in themselves. Their coaches believed in them. They obviously put in the work in the off season. They were very well conditioned. Getting a big body up front, and Isaiah Clark certainly helped that unit, you know, as a cohesive unit. They were one of the biggest lines around, certainly, with his addition there. And I think more than anything else, they thrived off of people doubting them. They loved it when, you know, we would pick against them or other people doubted that they'd win. I mean, they really, almost more than any other team I can ever remember, really seemed to feed off of that and loved, you know, proving their doubters wrong and picking up wins where maybe they had no business doing so. And, you know, look where it got them. It reached the state semifinals, which is a remarkable performance for them. So, hey, they deserve all the kudos in the world that they get.
You know, certainly Marblehead has ripped a page out of the old Swampskit book. Just bring in a new quarterback every year, and as long as he can throw the ball, you're going to be in business.
You know, Garrett Keough is a kid that if you had said to us in August, you know, what kind of role is Garrett Keough going to play in the Marblehead football team, you would have said, ooh, the baseball shortstop, Garrett Keough? Oh, okay, he's going to be the quarterback? Okay, well, we'll see how he can do. But he's a kid who goes out and throws five games over 200 yards passing, has a perfect passing performance against Lynn Clashell, no drops, engineered great wins over Beverly during the regular season, over Peabody, over Danvers, and got them to the North title game at home, where they eventually lost to Danvers. But still, for a team that had replaced an 1,800-yard rusher, an 1,800-yard passer, and a 1,000-yard receiver, not to mention some great linemen and other seniors from last year's team, these guys, you know, behind like Reed Cressy and Brian Graff and Buck Tompkins and kids of that nature, just took the mantle and ran with it. And I don't think you can say enough about the job that Jim Rudloff and his staff do over there. I mean, obviously they coach these guys up. They come to Marblehead with a good base from the Marblehead youth football program, but these guys kind of take it and mold them into the kind of players and team that they need to be successful. And you know, Marblehead was able to do that during the season. Great win over Beverly, 3 seconds to go. Great win over Danvers in overtime during the season. You know, they ran into a brick wall the second time around. They faced Danvers, but again, they punctuate that with a great shutout win on Thanksgiving over their arch rivals. So, I mean, 9-2, that is nothing to sneeze at for this group. And I think we said that they had won something crazy, like 28 or 29 games over the last three seasons. For this graduating senior class, that's a tremendous feat.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Coach Rudloff he does the job. I got to tell you, Phil, I was down at Disney, and I actually watched the Beverly Marblehead fourth quarter on our live video feed down there. It was great to watch, and what a finish by Marblehead! That was fantastic.
And wasn't it crazy the way that they just like marched down the field? I mean, you figure Beverly had that game fairly well in hand at one point in that second half, and they kind of never delivered that knockout punch that pushed Marblehead, you know, out of contention there in that game. And Marblehead stayed resilient. They got the ball back one final time. They went right down the field, and as you saw from your locale down in the Sunshine State, they get down to the 4-yard line with about 7 seconds left, and you know, field goal would have tied it, which they, you know, Keough kicked, so they could have done that. They had time to run one play. If it wasn't there, they could have thrown it out of the end zone, but Keough comes up with that big pass for the touchdown, stunned that big crowd at Endicott that day, and that was one of the marquee games of the season, I think.
Yeah, Phil, I got one more question to ask you about football before Tim asks you about whatever it is, other sports or whatever. But and I know you're busy, but I appreciate you taking the time. But you know, I know that Winthrop and Revere are outside of your coverage area, but I also know that you know both coaches, Sean Driscoll and Lou Ciccatelli, and what they've gone through. I think they both had remarkable seasons as well. One of the best seasons Revere's had in many, many years. And Winthrop, talk about adversity and so on, and coming on and beating Revere in that final game to have a winning season or go 500.
Yeah, let me talk. I'll do Winthrop first, then I'll circle back to Revere. I mean, I saw Winthrop on opening day, and you know, I was talking with Sean before the game, And I'm not trying to give away any state secrets here, but like, hey, Sean, how you doing? All he's like, oh, we're so young.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many guys that are still learning the game and things like that. And I'm thinking, how bad could it be? This is Winthrop. You know, they always play well. Well, they lost 43-0 on opening day to Danvers, which at the time, you know, nobody knew how good Danvers was going to be. And I want to say Winthrop started, what, 0-3, 0-4?
Yeah.
But
one senior
managed to turn it around. They survived that little speed bump where they had to forfeit a game. And, you know, you talk about, I mentioned earlier, Jim Rudloff being a great coach. I'd throw Dan Bauer and his staff in there. But Sean Driscoll and his guys do a great job coaching up those Winthrop kids all the time. Tough kids, city kids. You know, a lot of teams, I think, go down 0-3, 0-4, you're 1-5 at whatever point, and you could, you know, say, hey, it's just not our year, let's play some of the younger guys, let's, you know, try to work in some new guys, see if anything happens. Winthrop stuck to what was working, they knew it was going to work, and they started turning it around, and that win on Thanksgiving was just remarkable for them. Revere just seemed to can't get over the hump against them on the holiday. Speaking of the Patriots, Russ Gutsch did a fantastic job with them this season.
Yep.
First winning record, I want to say, in 34 years, 35
something
years, something like that.
Yeah.
They played Danvers very, very tough in the playoffs. That was a 7-0 game, real defensive battle. They had some real strong offensive players. I like their skill position guys. I thought they'd get after it defensively. I saw them, I want to say 3 weeks in a row I saw them play. And they, in the game after they lost to Danvers, Beverly got the better of them a little bit. I think they had a tough time stopping that wing T, but for the most part, they had an excellent season, and they beat the teams they should have, and, you know, they lost to Gloucester, but, you know, there was no shame in that. Gloucester had a great season themselves, 9-2. So hats off to Lou and his Patriots on a terrific season, and you know what? I really hope that they can build off of this and get the program moving in an even more trending upward position from here on out.
Well, you know, I think the renovation of Dela Russo Stadium is going to have an impact on the Revere program. You know, we talked to Coach Ciccatelli at least once every early in the season, and his voice, there's always such optimism, so much enthusiasm that it just has to be contagious to those kids. And you know, it's taken a while to build it. It's taken a while to develop, as you said, some of those key talented players that get you over the hump in certain games that pull those less talented kids along and show them what you can get with some harder work, not just hard work, but harder work and more dedication. And you want to be part of this. You don't want to let us down. You got to continue to go forward. And I think that's the great thing about Lou.
Well, right. I mean, you know, whether you're talking about Revere, you're talking about Danvers, you know, maybe even talking about Winthrop in this instance, like, kids are drawn to winning. And when they see a team that's winning and they want to be part of it and their friends play, like, they want to be part of what's going on. But it's the kids who realize not just the end goal of, like, I want to be a winner, but the work it takes to do that really makes a program. And I think that's what was able to happen in Danvers this year. They were able to get the kids to buy in and see, you know, that championships, you know, what's the old saying, that championships aren't won in November, they're won in, you know, March and June, you know, when kids are putting in the work in the off season. That's a spot that Revere has to get to, and hopefully the great seniors that they had this year have passed that on down to the underclassmen so they can carry on that tradition and get these guys going in the off season so that they know, like, okay, hey, yeah, last year was great, but it didn't end the way we wanted to, and we want to do even better this time around, and it starts now. It starts with the lifting and the running and the weight training and all. So it'd be great to see those guys get after it this off season. Looking forward to 2016.
Yeah, you know, Phil, once again, the sports page excels at the news under your guidance and the staff that you've got working for you. You guys just continue to amaze in the stuff that you produce. And now comes the fall all-star selections and just great story after great story on the front page. The Salem Hall of Fame inductees, the Danvers girls making the Eastern Mass Soccer Coach All-Stars, and Marcello Rocca with that 10th place finish heading to the Nationals.
Yeah, you know what? There's always something going on. It literally never ceases to amaze us what kind of activities are out there. Even when you think it's a supposed slow time, there's always something to do. There's always somebody to write about. There's somebody who might have slipped through the cracks during the season that we can circle back on and touch upon. Or sometimes we just get lucky and they have things like, you know, the Ipswich High Hall of Fame last Friday and the Salem High Hall of Fame on Saturday that we could focus on. So, believe me, we realize we're fortunate to be able to, cover and write about the sports we have in this area.
You know, and certainly, where football just dominates these last couple of weeks with the playoffs and in Thanksgiving Day game, it's good to be reminded that there are all these other sports with boys and girls, you know, playing against each other in a multitude of other sports, and there are a number of big accomplishments that were attained throughout those seasons as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's a good way to look at it, Tim. You know, I mean, you know, they do keep coming, you know, long after they've graduated high school. We want to follow them in college and what happens to them if they're still playing at another level from that point on. And, you know, there are, you know, brothers and sisters and cousins that continue from those families. So we have a lot of, let's say, legacy families that we followed for a long time, and we still hear back from those people. Oh, so-and-so is doing this in college, and my son is doing this now. And it's nice to stay in touch with those families, and I think our readers appreciate it.
Certainly. Listen, Phil, can we catch up with you over the next couple of weeks to look at some of these the All-Star selections?
Yeah, sure. What are you looking for?
You know, you're going to be running these every night the next couple of weeks, right?
Yep, for next week and a half or so. We had the field hockey today. Football comes out tomorrow. We'll have our cross-country teams on Wednesday and Thursday, followed by our boys and girls soccer Friday and Saturday. And then we go into golf and volleyball beginning of next week, and then I think it's a week from this Wednesday our fall coaches of the year are announced.
Okay, so if we can get talk to you next Monday about some of the selections that have appeared in the paper, and just let me highlight a couple of those kids, and then the following week, if you got the time for us.
Let's do it. That'd be great.
Just look at the golf and through the coaches as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it then.
Excellent.
All right, Phil. I'll see you at the rinks too. We're gonna be covering hockey, so I imagine I'll see you at Salem State and beyond.
Oh, sounds perfect. Look forward to seeing you guys.
All right. Phil, thanks so much for spending the time with us.
All
right, take
care.
Phil Stacey, the Salem News sports editor, encyclopedic knowledge of sports in the area.
Well, these guys spend so much time covering the sports and covering the kids and interviewing them and you know, getting to know them and through them their families and all. It's just such a great tool that we're able to utilize.
All right, we'll be right back.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, we're back, and we have made contact with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. And Sean, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving, and I know it was a very bitter pill to swallow Thursday night, but I hope now, after the weekend, that you guys are able to look back on what a great season you had. And just talking with Phil Stacey at the Salem News and remarking how you guys were definitely the story of the year this year in high school football.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of a bittersweet ending there. You know, it was a tough game. The kids were pretty worn down. But, yeah, now that we've had kind of time to reflect, it certainly was an amazing year. And, you know, I think the kids have a lot to be proud of.
You know, Tim and I were at the Melrose game on Friday night, and then Paul Ingram and I did your game with Gloucester. And I don't know how to even phrase it, but your kids were beaten up. But they gave as good as they got, and there were a couple of your kids at the end of the game. I don't know how they even stood up, Sean, but they kept slugging away out there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, from halftime of Melrose on, we really weren't the same team. The kids, you know, I mean, we have a lot of kids playing both ways, and, you know, practices and preparation and, you know, a lot of close games during the season, but yeah, I mean, they're tough kids. I mean, that's how they were able to do it all year, was their resiliency and you know, they definitely, as soon as when they're out there, they're going to give it everything they got.
Boy, they did. And I'll tell you, it started obviously from the flashy players, the flash and dash with Danny Lynch, whom we've seen several times this year, just excelling both on offensive defense and just talk about leaving everything on the field. I mean, he led the way, but so did so many of your other kids. And maybe you could pick out, first of all, tell me about Danny Lynch, and then talk to me a little bit about your captains who were so outstanding this year.
Yeah, you know, Danny Lynch is really a special kid, and you know, Danny had lost his father right before the season, and you know, it was a really emotional year for him, and I'm just really proud of how he was able to, you know, to handle that and really focus on the things that were important for him, whether it be football or school and his family. So I'm really happy with what he was able to do, and I think he really grew as a person and overcome a lot of odds. But, you know, a lot of other kids, too, stepped up this year. I mean, kids like Jeremy Keon, who, you know, really was a JV player for most of his junior year, came in and played, been a linebacker, and played some slot receiver for us. Mike Nesta really came into his own. He was a good receiver last year to a great receiver this year and a very good defensive back. Quinn Holland had an amazing year on defense. You know, Sam Vitale, again, just a captain of our defense, set all the fronts. And, you know, Marco Lagambino was maybe the best lineman in the whole conference.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. He was outstanding. I was just talking to Phil about him as well. And Quinn Holland, man, he almost turned the game around against Melrose, and then had another outstanding interception against Gloucester. So I'm glad you mentioned him.
Yeah, you know, he. Funny thing about him is that, you know, he played fullback for us a bunch of games, and we threw him a couple balls during the season at fullback, and he dropped them all. But for whatever reason, he catches the balls when they're thrown to him when he's playing defense.
Oh, that's great, Sean. So what do we look at now? How do you end this with your team? Because you know, again, it was great to meet the captains last Tuesday. Very classy, and I also want to compliment you and your staff and the kids on your comportment on Thursday. The great sportsmanship. I know how difficult that had to be for you guys. But what do you do now? Because in perspective, you had really an excellent season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, what the kids now realize is that, you know, the hard work that they put in the off season and during the year have paid off. And you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know, just listen to the coach and take his word for what it is. You know, it's a lot easier to sell now to say, hey, guys, if we want to go back and do the things next year and the years to come, what we did this year, then, you know, we're going to work even harder. And I think, you know, they had so much fun in that playoff run that, you know, it'll certainly make those early mornings or weight room sessions a little bit easier.
You know, Coach Tim Carencia, congratulations on a great season.
Thank you.
Has Danny Lynch woken up yet? I'm sure he went to sleep Thursday night and just said, I'm going to sack in for a while here.
He had, I think, in the last three games of the year, he had over 100 carries.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. And that's just on offense. Hello.
Yeah, that was just an amazing individual effort on his part. And in fact, Bill Newell and I even spoke to that statistic on Thanksgiving Day when we were doing the English Classical game. Of you know, just how much integral he became, and even more so after Matt Andreas got nicked.
Yeah, you know, I mean, lucky, you know, he's a smart kid, and he was able to, you know, kind of fill in that pseudo quarterback, running back role, and, you know, he was able to kind of run a lot of the same sets that Matt could do at quarterback, which really, you know, kept the offense the way it was. Otherwise, he probably would have had to change a lot if he wasn't able to do that.
Now, looking forward to next year, certainly you're going to have a solid core of kids coming back, kids who now have the taste, as you said, of the playoffs, winning the first three playoff games in school history. And what's the feeder system like in Danvers that's going to be moving up into the high school?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a great youth program, and, you know, the president of the league, and he's also the eighth grade football coach. His name is Tom Ladd. He does an amazing job with the youth program. And, you know, they won their eighth grade Super Bowl this year. So, you know, the kids are getting real excited. And even as I drive around town now, I'm seeing more and more kids, you know, throwing the football around and at the parks and in their front yard. So, I'm hoping that, you know, sort of the, spirit of the game from the high school kids is kind of bleeding down into the younger kids. And, you know, that kind of feeder system will continue.
With the weather that we had so far, what's the status of the new field?
Oh, it's going great. You know, they already have the goalposts are up, turf is down, They haven't put up the stadium itself yet, but those two things are done. I think they're almost ahead of schedule, so it looks like they actually maybe be able to squeeze in some late spring games there. I'm not quite sure.
All right, what's next for you guys, Sean, as we close it out? You got banquets coming up, awards, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just had our all-star meeting with the league, and we have our banquet on Sunday, and, you know, then it's winter sports time, and kids get a couple months of rest, and then when February rolls around, we'll probably start hitting the weight room.
Well, there's certainly a number of the players on your team that I know that are not going to get any rest, you know, because they're playing hockey or they're playing basketball, and then they're going to move into baseball.
Yeah, you know, and that's the way we like it, and that's what I've always liked about the Gamers kids is that majority of our players play at least two sports. A couple of them play three, you know, and that, you know, that kind of competitive fire and spirit, like, you know, Mike Nestor was always cool, calm, and collective because he had been there and done that. Same with Maddie and Danny, you know, with baseball, you know, they just know how to win, and I'd rather see that.
You know, certainly, and again, the winning feeds off winning. You go from one program to another, and like you said, the new kids coming in see that, and they want to be part of that. And, you know, with the new school and the new athletic facilities, it's just got said to be a positive experience over there in Danvers right now.
No, absolutely. You know, and I, you know, I commend the other coaches because, you know, we really all pull for each other. We want all our kids to play all the other sports. There's no, you know, I've been seeing programs where, you know, coaches don't let the other kids play other sports, and, you know, it's just sort of like a whole atmosphere, and I think the town itself, the community is just real excited about what's happened, not even just in football, but just in all the sports over the past few years.
Well, that's another thing, too, the fact that you're on the road all the time. It's just unbelievable what you've done, Sean, and I don't know how to praise the kids enough and what you've done, but I just got to say congratulations, man, and keep it going.
Oh, thanks, guys.
All right, Sean, we will talk to you later.
All right,
talk to you later. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks very much, coach.
That is Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. And, you know, with the horror that took place there 2 years ago, Tim, and the close-knit community that Danvers High School is and the good stories that there and there's so many good people there, it's just a great story. And I mean it. I just felt the pain when those kids lost on Thursday. I mean, Gloucester was exuberant, and it was great to see, you know, the smile on their faces, the hometown crowd. They had a huge following, Danvers did, and they were on the road every week.
Yeah, they had a great crowd at Manning Field a week ago. You know, the one thing that I made note of was Nick Kukuru, as soon as the game ended, noted right away what a classy things the Danvers captains did as they walked to the middle of the field holding the trophy.
Yes.
Waiting to hand it over,
yep,
to the Gloucester captains with, you know, as you said, there was some activities a year ago. But and Nick noted what a classy gesture it was to move out right away and recognize the victor.
It's sort of like there are so many champions in football this year because Gloucester won the South, Marblehead won the North, but Danvers went beyond that. And even though they ended up losing to each of those schools, Marblehead and Gloucester, they're sort of like champions as well, in my mind. I know that, you know, you don't get anything official, but they went so far.
Yeah.
And Coach Cirilli was making note of that, too, on what a great job that they did. So good stories all the way around. We're going to take one break and see if we can get a hold of Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo and take a look at general sports over the fall, see what happened over there. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The way it goes sometimes.
Again, as an athletic director, you're called out to meetings at all kinds of times, and you know, this being the end of the year, and the beginning of the year all at the same time, as you're closing out your fall sports and you're getting all your coaches and everybody ready for the winter sports with tryouts getting ready to be beginning this week. So I can imagine he may still be in the building somewhere at Hamilton Lenham Regional.
Well, they're hosting the I'm sorry for interrupting, Coach.
Is that meeting tonight?
Yeah, they're hosting the Cape Ann League Football All-Star Meeting.
So they may still be voting as the host.
And I'm sure he's talking to other ADs and so on as it goes on.
And what you're doing, too, is everyone's got openings in their schedules. You're rearranging home and away games to suit certain conflicts. I know when I was coaching Gloucester and when I was coaching in Maryland as well, you know, you had that coaches meeting, and it was like a Moroccan bazaar. Everybody was training something back and forth, trying to get a favorable site, a favorable date.
Sure.
You're changing time.
Well, get your kid voted All-Star. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And
that's even bigger.
And then there's all of that as well.
Yeah. Well, I do want to point out that Hamilton Wenham fall coaches were great in calling in scores to our sports scoreboard hotline or emailing us. And we do have the hotline available to coaches. We will have the email. And it's available for anybody, really. The sports hotline is 978-325-3638. And our email is msonewsports@gmail.com or msonewsports@gmail.com, depending upon whether you're doing news or sports. I really don't care. Send us along comments, updates, tips, whatever. Critiques, and we'll be more than happy to respond, or ideas and so on. All right, Tim, you're up.
Well, I want to congratulate, I may have done this last week, but congratulate my former student Claire Poole on a great career at Boston University. Dave Poole told me that his son Devin just recently had an offer to go and work for Aston Villa in the English Premier League in their main office. So, and Devin was a goalie for the Gloucester soccer team a few years ago. His dad is a member of my history department at Gloucester High School. So certainly Dave has lots to be proud of with his two kids as they continue careers in the soccer field. Claire, I can see her being drafted in one of the women's teams either in the States or even internationally. She's a very, very good player. Discuss it with the National Football League and the level of officiating.
Oh my
not
word.
Only applies to last night, but
yikes,
this whole year. I mean, they have had more meetings, and you never I've never seen this many meetings between officials to hash out a call. It used to be the guy who threw the flag would go to the referee, tell him what he saw, and the referee would go yes and make the call. Now you've got guys from all over the field congregating, discussing it. I want them to leave the mic on. I think that should be a new rule. If they huddle, we all need to hear what they're talking about, what they're discussing. I love that commercial because they get exposed for ineptitude because they have no idea what they're calling out there. They don't know what's a penalty and what's not a penalty. And it's not just to apply to the pass game because you see in every single game in one of the earlier Sunday games, there was the catch that wasn't a catch, but it was a catch. And they said, no catch. And then there was a touchdown that shouldn't have been a touchdown. And the replay showed it wasn't a touchdown. And it was a touchdown. And the announcers are going, you can't believe, I can't, what are they calling? What are they looking at? And this
well,
like
last
total
night,
ineptitude.
Last night, the announcers were off somewhere else. They weren't, good God, they were horrible. And Collinsworth, I don't know what's happening to him, but he's going to. And before that, Jim Nance and Phil Sims. What game are they watching? Oh, my goodness gracious. Besides the point, the Gronkowski offensive interference, I've got two problems with that. One, what Collinsworth was talking about, the hand check or extending his arm. Okay, maybe. But, Tim, he took two steps off the line of scrimmage. Now, I know his strides are good, but when you're just starting out, that can't be 5 yards.
Okay. But
you're allowed to hit within 5 yards.
Right. Yeah. If the defensive player is allowed to hit you, are you not allowed to hit him? Return back. You know, and on the way over here, I heard that there was a conversation with the Patriots in the league office. What constitutes the penalties that he's been getting, and how can he change? And I guess if you keep the arm in and just put the elbow forward, that doesn't constitute a push unless you shove it forward.
Yeah,
but
apparently,
if you keep the arm in and simply block, that's fine. Well, that's all he did on that play, and he still got whistled for. So the referees and the officials aren't getting the message about what constitutes an offensive pass interference penalty, and those should be the guys that know what these are. You know, they're getting big dollars to do this full-time, and learn your rule book.
Well, apparently they're not full-time. No, I guess that's part of the issue.
But it's ridiculous. You're going to...
Well, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
If you're going to officiate on the highest level, then you better be the highest caliber people, but they're all missing calls. You know, at the game last week, guy falls inbounds, rolls out of bounds, and the referee puts the ball back in play and runs the clock, and the game is over. It's like, I mean, I looked at him and went, okay, he's out of bounds. They got like 2 seconds left to throw the ball down the field.
Well, did you hear? Now, Brady doesn't screw up a lot, if ever, but he does screw up. And at the end of the game there, when they were down to 40 seconds, did you hear that? Police set the replay clock at 40 seconds, game clock at 40 seconds, and the game clock was still moving.
Yeah.
And Brady went, what the hell? They got down to 24 seconds before they snapped the ball.
And so was Belichick. I mean, he was apoplectic.
Yeah.
I mean, but the official on the field didn't even know what was going on.
The good news, they're
so out of it.
The good news.
Gronk can be back in.
Well, that is good. That's the best news. Yeah. The good news is that that was a game that they had to get out of their system, I think. If you're going to lose a game.
No, don't lose a game like that. Lose the game.
No, I don't mind.
I mean, they.
I don't mind because
they left.
What did it do? It left them angrier than ever.
Yeah, it's like shooting Mongo. What they've done is they've shot Mongo.
Oh yeah,
but the only problem the only problem is Mongo is hurt. Okay, Mongo is hurt. They're not the team they started the season with, and they have just been outsmarting and outplaying in the last 3 or 4 weeks teams that had the best shot of beating them so far this season. But they keep finding a way to win. They didn't make a couple of big defensive plays on those passes. And end of the game. They didn't.
The
make
worst plays. Play they was left, the punt.
That they left. Oh yeah. Well, he's gone now. They cut him today.
Really?
No, they cut him today.
No
oh,
kidding.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Belichick just said, "Oh, he did so great in practice, and he's done."
Yeah,
really?
Well, he dropped a pass. He muffed the punt.
No, that cost him
a touchdown.
No question. No
you know,
question.
But on the touchdown where Denver went ahead, not the winning touchdown, but the one where they went ahead. Anderson came around the corner.
Same play.
And both Ryan and McCourty cut up inside, and he went around them.
Yeah.
You need to spread that out to force him back into the middle of the field. Don't give him the sideline. Well, and they both went inside, and he simply out-quicked into the corner.
As I said.
And he scored the touchdown.
That's the game. A lot of people made mistakes. But get it out of your system.
They were, I mean, those were bad mistakes.
Yeah, they were.
But I don't... But you take the Gronkowski interference... You take the you get the sack
the holding by, it, the by holding Branch, in the end zone
by Branch, who played out of his mind last night.
Yep.
Gets him back to the 19-yard line, and all of a sudden the late flag comes in, and it's this mystery holding at the 5-yard line. It's like you can't be serious. It's like the guy. It's like that official went, oh, they got a sack. Oh,
and did you see that? That was a check at the line of scrimmage also.
Yeah.
That was well, maybe 2-3
no,
yards.
Not a bit, but, you know,
he made his cut.
They were hand battling.
Right. It was
but
a
there
check.
Was no holding.
No.
There was no holding, and it really wasn't even interference because the guy turned inside of him.
And Brandon LaFell was tackled. Did you see that one?
Oh, there were so many bad plays.
Unbelievable.
You know, I mean, holding the shirt, they had Jones's shirt.
See if that's
call
correct.
From cell phone in May.
Just see who that is, and we'll try it on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Is that Craig?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, we're here. All right, hold on. We're on the air. Let me introduce you. We have made connections. Tim and I were just frothing at the mouth here about last night's Patriots game. But Craig Genualdo, the Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director, is on board now. And we're going to take a look back very briefly at Hamilton Wenham Fall Sports. Craig, I know you've been at the Cape Ann League All-Star meeting tonight, getting ready for the football All-Stars. So tell us a little bit about the success that Hamilton Wenham did have this year. I mean, even before you do that, let me thank you for your coach's involvement with MSO New Sports. We got a lot of phone calls from you guys. We got a lot of reports that we were able to put on the air, a lot of emails. So all your scores, we were able to get them on, you know, before we went to bed some nights, and they were up next day in case the papers didn't get them. So thank you for that. But let's look back on the fall sports at Hamilton Wenham.
Well, thank you. And just like, I know we're going to start talking about all the success he had this year because it was a lot, but, you know, that's part of a coach's job that people never realize. You know, they see people making decisions on game day, and they might realize how much practice time is involved, but what people don't realize for varsity coaches is, you know, there's about a half hour, 45 minutes worth of work to get all the papers updated and to do all those things. And so they appreciate it, and we appreciate it. And I want to just thank them publicly for doing all that. We had a great fall. And we had a great fall on the courts, in the field, and off. And, you know, I don't know what the other, how the other schools did. I try to just worry about us. But I know we had a very good winning percentage across the Cape Ann League games. We had five teams, I believe, qualified for state tournament play. We won, you know, three league championships with boys soccer, girls soccer, girls cross country. Boys cross country went on to win the division five, like a divisional thing there, before the All States. And golf won the sportsmanship award and had a great season. I think their regular season was like 12-2 or 13-2. So we had some great things going on the field and off. With the sportsmanship stuff doing, we're very proud of that.
Absolutely. Now, how were the numbers, Craig? I talked to you at the beginning of the season, but did you have good participation?
We had great numbers. I think we had about 335, 340 kids out playing sports. That's about, you know, that's about pushing 50% of our student body in one season. We try to get up around 70 by the end of the year, but we had a ton of kids come out in the fall. We had full teams. You know, we had three levels of boys and girls soccer. We had two very solid levels for football, volleyball, field hockey.
Wow.
Golf numbers were through the roof. We were trying to figure out how to get kids more time on the course. And, of course, cross country is always strong. So we had a very good participation rate as well. And I know we talked before, but, you know, that's really one of the main staples that we look at. Like, you know, it's not just about wins and losses. It's about having kids out playing and competing and being great teammates, as well as the sportsmanship aspect. And then, you know, we do try to win. I'm not going to apologize for that. And we do a good job of all those things.
You know, Coach, and certainly you're looking at 60-70% participation over the course of the year. And then you factor in the other extracurricular activities at school, theater and music and band and all those. And that just speaks volumes to the level of commitment that the kids in Hamilton and Wenham have to the school environment.
Thank you. No, I would say two things. I'd say the families and the teachers and the people at the school create an environment for that. Like, you know, the families are tireless, you know, dropping, like, you know, if a family has two or three kids, they're dropping this one off at play practice and this one at soccer practice, and they're picking the first one up, they're dropping them off there, and, you know, like, you know, the level of commitment among the families is incredible to support their children. And then the professionals in the school building, one of the things I love about our school is there's no cliques. Like, you know, you have your theater production teacher who's a huge sports fan and always at our games. The band leader, Mr. Fecky, is a huge, huge, huge fan of football and all the sports that take place after school. And, of course, the band always does a great job for us. And, you know, we have kids that play that are in the band, and it's really unique because the kids are very fortunate to live in this community where the parents and the administrators set the table for them. And then they do a great job, you know, following through on things. It's not like kids are just signing up to put things on a resume. They're into it, and they're talented. And they kind of, like, you know, whether it's kicking a soccer ball or singing a song or playing an instrument or acting on stage, they really work to hone their craft, and that's a great compliment to them as well.
You know, and certainly what most people don't realize is how much time all those other kids put in practicing their craft. Ben members, you hear them out in the middle of the summer. You know, I live right behind Beverly High School, and those kids are out there marching and playing and yep. getting all their numbers down. Because, I mean, it's tough enough to run with a football and just run helter-skelter, but to carry a tuba around and yeah. walk a certain formation, now that's talent.
I mean, I can't walk in a straight line without the problem. It's amazing how diverse the kids are in their talents. And like I said, it's not just like they're doing it for the heck of doing it. They're really good at it. And I marvel at, you know, just, you know, and not just the Hamilton kids, the whole Cape Ann League, the Northeast Conference, all the schools that we're, you know, blessed to be associated with and to work with and to compete against. Kids from around the area are really invested in what they do. And again, I think that I think that's two things. I think it's the parents and the teachers really setting the environment for them and really creating an environment where the kids can excel, and then the kids taking to that and really falling through on the opportunity they have, because I feel like there's a lot of kids out there that don't have the chance, which is a tragedy, because they never know how good they can truly be. But then there's other, you know, communities, and not on the North Shore, but there's other communities where, you know, all the stuff's in place and kids don't really take to it. And so you really need both of those things working together to make that happen.
Craig, spoken like a true educator, and I know I've caught you at a bad time because this is this is a crazy time. Now, what's going on this week? Winter sports actually began today?
Yeah. We have our new boys basketball coach, Mikey DiMarino, had his first practice. But they were getting after it. They were enthusiastic and cheering, and I heard him slapping the floor playing defense. And as I was leaving school now, we had our girls basketball team out there, and I know Coach Sawyer had the indoor track team running and doing hurdles and practicing starts and doing all that in the middle there. And I know swim has their first workout tonight. I know gymnastics starts a little bit later this week. And it's amazing, like, you know, we just finished digesting our turkey. In some cases, not really. And we're already out here running around and throwing balls in a bucket and diving off the springboard, getting laps in. So it's pretty incredible.
It is. It's amazing. Well, Craig, I want to, try to get over and visit you again and talk a little bit more in depth about winter sports. But in the meantime, good luck this week and good luck with everything. And thanks so much for all your help this year. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys too, and we want to wish all our kids and families good luck. But every school around, we want to wish them good luck because we love to compete in this area. It's a real blessing, and so thank you to those guys as well.
Well spoken. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you later, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, be well.
All right, that is Craig Genualdo, who is the athletic director at Hamilton, one of my high school, and you can see what a nice guy he is.
Oh yeah, and again, I think the key point to Hamilton Wenham's success is what he said, is that it's coaches, it's families, it's faculty, all buying into the school extracurricular programs and the level of support that each of them give to the programs across the board, whether it's going to a football game or, you know, a handful of teachers going and watch the end of a track meet or soccer match. Because the kids are always asking, can you come by, can you come by? Because it really means something to them to see their teachers out there. And if I haven't been able to get there, I've always made sure I've checked the paper and seen what my kids have done or what any of the kids have done. If I see them in the hallways, I congratulate them in the classroom so that people know that these kids are out there putting in their time. And I always make note for the kids in the theater about what's going on in the dark side, what's coming out for their concerts. Because again, these kids put in a tremendous amount of time after school practicing, honing their craft to become an all-star at what they do.
Who's this Yankee outfielder that the Red Sox picked up?
I know, he's 30 years old. He's like a 270 hitter.
He's
got 169
generous
home runs over the last 10 years. But he's, again, he's 30 years old and nobody wanted him. So
trade chip? I don't know.
Well, what's it tell you? Here's this thing. They don't like giving contracts to guys over 30. So
and they give him a multi-year contract.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do. We're going to have to wait and see. You know, that's a springtime thing. But right now, my hot stove is cooled down as far as baseball goes.
All right, and I do think I feel much better today about the way the game went last night than I did last night. It was Armageddon. It was the end of the world. The Patriots were all done. Fold up the tents. I was ready to give up.
And
it was just a loss.
You know what? I get the Globe every day, and one of the things I enjoy reading the next day after the game is, there's this Boston sports writer who writes a column regarding the outcome of the game, and they have a guest writer from the team that played them. And this guy says they won the game because they were tougher. Okay, you were tough. I don't even want to get into how they were tougher than the Patriots. But it's like,
well, that's okay, locker room material for the playoffs.
Move over Tom Brady.
Brock Osweiler.
Here's the new kid on the block.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He had 200 yards,
you
right?
You know, didn't have 300 yards. He's won two games. Okay, you won two games. All right? And we won't discuss how you were aided in winning the second game. But, I mean, when you've got six Super Bowl appearances, when you've got four Super Bowl championships.
Talk to me.
MVPs, you know, you got a 16-0 season, you know. talk to me about you being the new kid on the block. Because right now, you're a little snippet, okay, who's thrown a rock and put a crack in a window momentarily. But at the end of the season, you know, who'll be left standing?
Well, you realize they went 18-1 1 year, didn't win the Super Bowl. If they go 18-1 this year, that means they won it.
Exactly.
All right, that's good. I feel good. I think they're going to be okay. All right, Tim, I appreciate it. We'll try again next Monday.
Yeah, I got to put in for some overtime tonight.
We started late. All right, that's Tim. Bill Proposky, our producer.
Damn, I hate when you do that.
I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.